Great to see you all. Don't know why you seem so serious. Everybody's kind of looking at me a little bit worried. Yes, I can see everything, so don't worry about it anyway. It's all good. One of the things you need to learn to do is not to fear about being in unity with other people, because when you're in unity with them, they know everything about you, and you know everything about them, and it's all good because you're in Christ. And just nod your head and go, yes, in. See, we actually don't believe some of this stuff, although the Bible says it. Because Jesus said, I'm in you, and you're in me, and I'm in the Father. You might be one with me, as I'm one with him. And if all of us are in Jesus, then we're all in one another. So whatever God's looking at in you, anyone else can see. It's called love. It really is. It's called love. I think the love of God is one of the things that we don't really understand, although we want to, and we think we do. I think we kind of have a handle on stuff, and I'm just rambling so I can get my head into gear with where we need to go. But anyway, I think it's all good. Sometimes I do know. How many haven't heard me before? How many haven't actually praised the Lord? Quite a few of you folks. Glory to Jesus. Okay, number of things I'm going to just let you know about. I am not a pastor of a church. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a pastor. I'm just not in charge of a body of people. I'm a businessman. I have five businesses now that I take care of. I have quite a number of staff. And part-time for 7 months of the year, I go around the world doing this kind of thing. And so if you think your life is busy, try mine. There's no excuse for you in your workplace. And so if I can do it, then you can do it. And so basically my life with God began at a very early age. And, not an early age. I think 19 is still early. I think I'm getting a bit ancient now. But anyway, when I went through what I went through, God totally changed my life. I was a very quiet, broken, wouldn't say boo to anyone, wouldn't talk to strangers kind of person. They would come into a group of people and would go and hide in a corner and find a little book to keep myself hidden somewhere. I had ADD and I was dyslexic. And so God has changed all of that. Praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful journey and very exciting. I fell in love with God. And I think that's one of the things that is sometimes missing in us, because we think that God is a system of laws and regulations and protocols. And although he is that, actually God is love. And the reason that he came is because he loved you so much, he made a choice to do that. And so if God is love, then we need to be lovers of God. And if we're lovers of God, then we need to be lovers of one another, which means knowing all your stuff. So we come back to that again. And so it is okay, actually. It really is okay. Because if Jesus can look at you and understand all of you, what I would really love some of you to do is to unfold your arms. It's really good for you to put your hands on your laps. Some of it is a defense mechanism. And so, not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with folding your arms, and just that's the way it is. Over this time, I just encourage you to open your spirit and open your heart to the presence of God. We have lots of teaching material on the side over there. Please go and avail yourself of some of that stuff. Some of the little things I say, I've done an hour and a half teaching on them. So when I say get the MP3, I mean get the MP3, because I've done an hour teaching on it, and I'm not going to spend another hour going through it when the information is already there and you just got to do some homework. And so please do that. I bring you greetings here to the angel of this house, from the angel of the house of thunder. I bring you greetings. I have been looking forward to being here. It was great last year when you connected with Mike, and we had a wonderful time, and I'm glad to see some of you are still here. And so, in fact, some of you have actually grown a little bit more than what you were last time we were here, which I'm very excited about. How many know that the church is in an immature state? Okay, how many don't know that the church is in an immature state? That's a better question. So half of us were liars, so you didn't put your hands up. So one of the things that I do believe is that there are changes coming to the church system as we have known it in the face of the earth. I don't know about you, but I've been very frustrated. Now, let me just get this right. I have served in one church for 24 years. Okay? One church. So when I talk about the church, I don't hate it. I hate the system of church. Okay? I serve when I'm in my church. I serve my body with what God has given me to administrate in the kingdom world. Hardly anyone in my church knows anything about what I do. They have no idea. They all I know is that Ian comes in and Ian goes out. And some of them are starting to get an idea, because some of them have discovered my website. Because I actually don't talk about it in my church life. I don't really care what people think about my body. I'm just there to serve my house. And so what I do is I add in what I have into the house. But I do know that the church is in an immature state. And I know God is coming back for a bride that is spotless or without spot or wrinkle. And I know that, some of these things we will talk over this weekend if we get a chance about what the spots really mean. Because I don't really think any of us have any idea, really. And I know I didn't until God began to put some stuff in my life, put his finger in my life. And because I know the church is in an immature state, some of the things that go on are still born out of something that was cultured over the last 2,000 years that God is actually not really interested in. Because if he was interested in it, we would be seeing the full manifestation of the kabod of God inside the church life, and we don't see it, which tells me that actually he's not really interested in it. So it means that what we've been doing and what we're used to doing actually isn't in the right place, on the right protocol, or in the right process, or in the right way. Now, if I was to get my sister up and we had some light where we could look at our shadows, if I looked at her shadow and then looked at my shadow, I could not tell you that her shadow looked like my shadow. Because I'm a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, a little bit wider, kind of a shorter hair, you know, and whatever. And so my shadow will, now do you want to turn me up? I feel like I'm really pushing. My shadow will not look like her shadow. Therefore, I cannot step over that shadow and say, that looks like me, and actually begin to engage my shadow. To understand the way that God looks at this stuff, we've got to understand what God did in Genesis. When God made Adam, how many have heard me talk about how God made Adam? Five of you. Okay. I don't know whether some of you British guys are a little bit afraid about putting your hands up in case they say, excuse me, you, would you like it to come? I mean, I don't know. So when I do ask you a question, put your hand up, because I don't want to go through stuff if you know it already, because it's just a waste of my time. Now, if we understand the way that Hebrews see the way that God made Adam, then we have an idea of what God is looking for on the face of the earth. Because you must go back to the precedent, which is one of the laws out of Zion, the law of precedent. There's 12 laws in Zion, 12 laws in Jerusalem, which make up the 24 laws, which are the 24 elders. They cast their crowns, which is about government before the throne of the presence of God, yielding to a higher government. Just get, you know, read your Bible. And so what we have is that God is wanting government to manifest, and so he's looking for a shadow of himself. So let's describe when God made Adam. So if you believe in one creation, you've got a problem. I don't. I believe in two. So in the second creation, when God began to get the CD, when God began to make and create Adam, Adam was not made out of the dust we think is dirt, which is out there. What you see is dirt out there is decayed matter from trees and grass and nitrogen products that have fallen on the floor that have created this mat over the face of the earth. In the day when God formed the earth and reset everything in place, the Bible says a river ran through Eden to water the garden that God planted eastward in Eden. So Eden and the garden are two different things, get the CD. And so what we have is the river runs through, and then from there it says it parted into four heads and watered the face of the earth. And in one of those rivers, I think it was Pison, the river Pison, it says the gold in the river was good gold, which means pure gold. So the dust that was on the face of the earth was pure gold. So when God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, it was not decayed matter that was in an absolute chaotic state and not displaying glory. Yes, Ian. And so when God formed Adam out of this, if you take pure gold, by the way, and pure gold isn't the gold junk you wear on your hands, that's junk. Pure gold, when you take it, you get one part pure gold, which is in a very, very fine powdered form, because you can crush it with your fingers just like talcum powder. You put one part pure gold into 1,000 parts water, it will turn the water blood red. Physically today, it will turn the water blood red. So that's why when Moses put his rod in the river turned blood red, because Hebrews know that salvation only comes from a river running blood red. Right? So Moses comes down from the mountain, burns with fire. Gold can be translated from an element into a protein molecule by shattering it at 5,001 degrees Celsius, which means that that's why Moses was able to beat the golden calf to powder. And so when you purify gold at that degree, it becomes pure. You crush it to powder and threw it into the lake or that water trough that was there, the water well that was there, that would have turned the well blood red. That's what the Hebrews drank from it, because they saw the river turn blood red and know that salvation only comes through a river running blood red. That's why they drank it. And so, anyway, I just thought you might like to know this stuff. And so, when God made Adam, it's really important for us to see how he made him. So God forms this body, and we as Greek people, we kind of think, you know, two fingers under the chin, two on the head, head back, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That is not how God put his breath into Adam. He didn't. That's not how God did it. See, to a Hebrew, God is breath. Right? And so what God did is God took himself, all of himself, and went into Adam. And Adam went, and then he breathed out. When Adam breathed out, God came out of Adam and was looking at a perfect reflection of himself, fully God, fully man. Right, and so that's why the Bible says God breathed into Adam and he became a living being, or a living soul. A living being is a better way of describing it. A being that had full capacity to understand everything that was in God and to have the fullness of God fully manifested in him. That's why he could name all the animals, because he had them all inside of him. How does one man have take dominion over the whole earth? Except it's in him. Because whatever's in you, you have dominion over. That's why Christ wants us in him. Because then he can have dominion over us. And that's why Jesus is in the Father. Because the Father has dominion over the Son. And then when we're in Jesus, we're in the Father. So when we're in the Father, we don't get afraid of the glory, because we look out from inside, not from the outside in. Hello, how's your theology gone so far? I'm just rambling today to try and make sure we get on the same page and get you out of their theological doctrinal belief systems that are so screwed up and mixed up by the culture that we've been fed, which is in the church life. Being a Christian isn't just trying to die to myself and then one day, maybe, when I die, I'm going to see it all. What an absolute waste of time. Why go through the struggle and why go through dealing with your stuff in your life to engage holiness in the realm of God and walk with the presence of God when it's only going to happen when you die? Well, in that case, you might as well die and go home now and enjoy it instead of going through the suffering. It's true. Because whatever God did, he always gave it to a living man. God never gave it to a dead person. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that God gave something to someone who was dead. Anybody can find that? So we must be on the right doctrinal belief system here then. See, if God has spoken life and given a kingdom, he doesn't give it to someone who's dead, who's in heaven. He gives it to someone who's alive on the earth so he can display himself on the earth, because what goes on the earth is being watched by everything that's in creation. And I'm not just talking about the earth. I'm talking about the 400 billion galaxies that are out there. And every transdimensional being that's actually out there is looking at our dimensional world going, get your act together. Why? Because the church is an immature state. And God's going, hello, anybody out there? And we're going, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down. It's actually a waste of time. God wants us to go up, because only as you ascend will you be able to descend. And only he that comes out of heaven has life and can bring life to the John 6. No, I want you to put your hands on your head. Father, we want to stand right now in the name of Jesus. I just legislate against every deaf and dumb spirit in Jesus Christ's name that would seek to access the minds and hearts of these people. Father, I thank you that you do not fit in our box. Lord, that you are outside of our box. In fact, you are so bigger than our box, we can't even think about trying to put you in our box. Father, where we boxed you, we just repent of that today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to judge us according to the testimony of the dispensation of your grace to break this yoke in the name of Christ. Amen. See, a human being does not... Do you realize that the scientific community released a... You can all unfold your arms. It's really good. A scientific community released a statement about 3 months ago, and they made a categoric statement, and it was this. We believe that the human brain does not have a thought of its own. I mean, I could have told him that years ago. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart. See, yet we're taught that it all goes on inside our brain. I'm going to get to this government thing in a minute. I'm just trying to lay some foundation so that when I do go there, we can get some understanding on it. We learn by the frequency that comes out of the vibration of the formation of vibration of your mouth when someone speaks to you. Because what you have learned, A, you've been taught, A is an A. What happens if I taught you A is a B? You'd believe that A is a B, because why? You assimilate the frequency that you hear, not only with your ear, but with your body. Because the human body is what, 78% water? Is that correct? I think something like that. A lot of water. And when you understand what water does, water is one of the only substances that can carry memory and retentive memory. Because it vibrates, and the molecules inside the water carry that retentive memory. The only other thing that does that is crystal. That's why the 13 crystal skulls, because we get memory of stuff from first creation that the devils are trying to access. But anyway, and so what we have is we have a situation. Now, am I suppressed? Because every time I speak loud, I'm cutting out. No? Okay. And so what we have is the process of the way we learn is when someone speaks to you, it goes into your body. Do you realize that there is an audio nerve that runs from the inside? Don't worry about me. Actually, a number of things don't worry about. Number one, don't worry about my earring. And number two, don't worry about that. I'm not giving you thousands of scriptures. You can go and read your Bible anytime. I'm just trying to give you some background to where you want to go over the next couple of days. There's an audio nerve that runs from the back of your ear down to every major organ of your body except your spleen. So your physical body is an actual listening device. And so what happens when someone speaks to you is it goes into your body and your body goes with the vibration. Everybody ever seen movie Matrix? Matrix, sorry. It's actually mentioned 2 or 3 times in the Bible, but it's in the Bible, Matrix. And so, what it is, you're going to have to read your Bible. And so, what happens here is your body receives the sound of the frequency of my voice, and you're taught that vibration going, over your body means this. And so you learn the protocol, and you accumulate that knowledge by someone giving you instruction on that word. And so your body assimilates that information, it goes into your heart, and your heart goes, think. Ah, there's something happening inside my ear that sounds like what's going on inside my body. And then what happens, two things always mean an arc. So what happens between your ear and your body is an arc that's formed, which is power, which opens up a neuron inside your brain, which connects that thought inside your brain to the pathways that get established with the way that you've been taught. Right? And so if your body's carrying recorded memory and someone comes along and says something that you haven't heard before that doesn't fit inside your recorded memory protocol and everything you've built your life around, which actually might be wrong, then what happens is you're listening to me and you're going, that doesn't fit in my theology. I wonder where that fits. How can I get that and fit that in my little box? And by that time, I've gone on 4 points in front of where you've been left off trying to figure out how to do that. And so what happens then is you throw it all out the window and go, oh, this is too much for me. Well, the issue is you've got to change the way your body's vibrating with the sound of the frequency of the things you've learned by the processes that you've engaged through memory. That's why when you listen to something over and over and over and over and over, you come to a point where you can, like songs, how many know after 3 or 4 times of singing a song, you don't have to look at the words anymore? Only 3 or 4 times. Can you imagine what happens when someone has been going, wham, 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 for 10 years? Can you imagine what happened? And so we learn by these kind of processes. And so when I'm saying things that don't fit in your theology, don't worry about it. You're powerful enough to actually make your decision to throw the baby out or throw the bathwater out and the baby out together. It's up to you. That's not my problem. Once I've said something, I'm not accountable for what I do with it. You are. And so one of the things about this learning process is that I do believe that God is bringing revelation that has not been seen on the earth yet to today. I do believe that. Because if it wasn't that way, then that means what they had in the book of Acts was all that there ever would be. And all that they had in the Old Testament was all that there ever would be. And there wouldn't need to be no need to be any new revelation come on the face of the earth from 2,000 years ago. Revelation is an unfolding of a truth to the fullest extent. So often what we have learned is true, but it's not all the truth. And if we build a doctrine around what's true and other truth comes in to expand that doctrine, you'll often fight for what you think is true because your belief systems are all cultured and your whole life has been based on something that you built all your belief systems out of. And you start taking that platform out, you've got to undo all the junk. And often we don't want to do that because I like my little life. Thank you very much. You know, how many war against your flesh? I mean, your flesh likes its life because it has memory about what it's done. You see, man, you guys are really serious. And so we end up in this process. And so I do believe God is bringing revelation to the face of the earth that has not been seen again. And I'm not saying that I'm the only one that's getting it. You just go and have a look in the body of Christ and see what God is doing. Now some of these scrolls that Daniel saw that were sealed up are being released in this day for our day. And Daniel is watching over them. And whoever gets hold of them, Daniel is going to go, yep, I think I'll come and walk with that one. Why? Because look, he looks like he's carrying my shadow. What does the word say? You know, run the race because he encompasses about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What do you think they do? Sit there and play tiddlywinks? You know, oh look, there's one going to the cup. They're going to get the cup today. Let's see if we can get the tiddlywink. And it doesn't work like that. They're watching over you to see what you do in running your race so that they can engage you where you're at and give you the knowledge that they had in their day so they can participate in our day because they saw our day, most of them, by the way. It's just living in the future. So God is bringing new stuff to the face of the earth that is going to bring into the kingdom of what he's just trading, so it's all good. What God is doing, just get the CD. And so what God is doing is bringing into the earth revelation about his desire to bring change on the earth so we start to win. How many know we're not winning? Praise the Lord, let's all be on the same page then. So it means what we're doing is not sufficient in our day or else we would be winning. So it means there's something new that God's got to bring to empower us to win. Would you like me to get you all to stand up and jump up and down just to get you a bit? I know you're listening and it's wonderful and perhaps you think I've got an accent. I don't. I speak normal English. I'm not the one that speaks funny. And so you can trade into that. And so that would be a good idea. Can I have my water, please? And so what God is bringing, I believe, is a continued revelation of what has been formed on the earth to expand it and open up the horizons of the potential to be different than what we've always seen on the face of the earth. I believe, this is a belief system that I have now come to, I do not believe that the apostolic is in a mature state. I think what we have seen is that God has come and brought revelation about something and we've tried to fit it in a box that has been established, you know, 1800 years ago. And because we try to fit it in the same box, it's not bearing the same shadow that it should bear, and so we're running into problems. Because let me tell you, there's some things about the apostolic I'm going to say, and some of you folks have heard me talk about this, but I need to go through this, so, and I'm not afraid of teaching the same things over and over and over and over until you get it, because actually most of us don't get it. What I've generally found is that people come to a conference and within a year, only 20% will remember about 10% of what I've spoken about in a conference. And so you end up in the situation where you only know a little bit, and because you don't listen to it over and you never grow into that stuff, it never changes the frequency of your body. The whole realm around us never changes. So we're always doing what we always got. That's why every church sings 3 fast songs and 2 slow songs. Because that's what started in Constantine's day and has been here ever since. And that's why we do it. The reason we do it is because we're not in relationship with God. Well, most of us sort of try to, but actually we really don't, because most of us are usually too lazy to really engage. Because what happens, you come into church and you've had such a bad week, your body's in so much chaos from the frequency of your own thought life, which actually carries frequency with it, by the way. And your body's in so much chaos, they sing three fast songs to make your body come into alignment, to actually get some form of a shadow, that when we start to sing worship songs, you may have some chance of entering into the realm of the presence of God. Because actually what happens, you get some poor intercessor that's been praying all week and engaging the presence of God. They come into the meeting to give an offering to the presence of God. You get some vampirical Christian person that's been so lazy during the week. They come along and they bite you in the atmosphere and they go, I want to make me feel good. The poor lady gets emaciated and gets sort of drawn out and sucked in like a little old golf ball. And it's because we don't give them an offering that we're actually supposed to out of what we've gathered during the week, because you don't understand that there is an onward going process of God. We think it comes from church life. Do you realize that in America, I'm sure it's the same here, there was a massive big study done on 5,000 people from all different church lives, and there's one question they were asked is, what reason do you think the church is here for? 97% or 98% of those people said, to meet my needs. Now, if it's like that in America, I'm sorry, it's no different in your country, because we're the same everywhere. I've got some bad news for you. The church isn't here to meet your needs. I often wonder what would happen if the church wasn't here anymore. Suddenly the government closed all the churches down. How many would actually backslide? Because you can't get your weekly fix. Because it's about your development with God in your secret place, in your time when you're alone with Him, where you spend time cultivating and cultivating intimacy and relationship with the presence of God and dealing with your junk. So that, see, holiness is a choice. Righteousness is a gift. You receive righteousness when you go, because you can't receive it here. You receive it when you go. That's where your garment gets taken off and a new one gets given to you when you're there. Zechariah 3. Just so you have a scripture so you don't think I'm crazy. And so what happens is that we end up in the situation where God is bringing revelation to the face of the earth. And I'm coming back to it again. God is bringing revelation to the face of the earth that many of us actually have not seen this stuff before. And because we haven't seen this stuff before, we try and fit into the mold that is currently here. And I know this, that I did some teachings on trading, and I want to get into that in some of the other sessions of the weekend, but I don't want to talk about the dark stuff that you've traded. I want to talk about some of the good stuff and how to trade into, how to engage that trading in the heavens. Because I don't bet you, but I want trading with Melchizedek and all these people. And so, when God does something on the face of the earth, now what time do we finish this session? You know, I just need to know for the two, what time do we finish tonight? Okay, anytime. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Hallelujah, Father. Be like Paul and preach all night. No, I never do that. And so, I know that God is bringing revelation about something into the earth about the apostolic. I do not believe that the apostolic mountain that we currently see is in a mature state in any form whatsoever. That's my personal belief. Because if it was, we would really be changing the face of the earth. And there would be great impact in the changing and the shifting of the spiritual government in cities, in nations, in tectonic plates, on the earth, in our solar system, in our galaxy, and into the universe. And I don't see that happening yet. So which means to me that this is in an immature state that God is wanting to engage in and bring change in the middle of it. And so to understand what God is wanting to do, let's just look a little bit about what's going on with some of the stuff that's happened now. And I'm going to draw some pictures on here so you can come take photos of these at the end of the session, which will be really good for you to get them. Let's just say we've got the earth down here. And so, excuse my hieroglyphics, you know, I'm not a good artist, so we can draw New Zealand sort of here like this, you know, having a major portion of the earth, and we've got England over here, and we've got America over here, and then we've got Russia over here. And so, but let's just say that's the earth. Okay, I'll just write that NZ. And Australia's over here. And so, sorry, Carol. See, we believe in New Zealand that Australia is the island of the coast of New Zealand, just off Greymouth, and so the same as Australians believe that New Zealand is the 13th state of Australia. So it's all good. What I believe is, and what I believe has happened, is that you've had a situation. Excuse me, I'm trying to find a position where I can draw this so most of you can see while I'm doing it without blowing your ear balls off. And so what has happened? I'm sorry about this, folks. But what has happened is that years ago there came a move on the face of the earth with evangelism. You know, those massive big tent meetings where you have 20 or 30, 40,000 people coming together in a tent, and there was this massive move that began to cover the face of the earth, and it was called the evangelists. They came onto the face of the earth, and suddenly you had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people getting saved. You had this massive move of people getting saved. Now, and so what began to happen when people began to get saved is that suddenly the poor guys who were doing the evangelism suddenly had all these sheep barring for their attention. And you know, sheep are really bad. I'm in a nation that has 24,000 sheep, so 24 million sheep and 4.5 million people. So we know about sheep. And sheep, when they get hungry and they want caring, they baa a lot. And it's really annoying, especially if you're trying to go to sleep. And so, sheep are great little things because they're an example of what we are like. And so these poor evangelists had all these sheep going, baa, baa, I want to be taken care of. And so what God began to do is God began to overshadow the earth with another anointing from the fivefold ministry, which is called the pastor. And so what happened was the pastor was given the job to take care of the sheep that got saved. And you had this whole pastoral thing kind of spring up again. But the pastoral thing was instigated by Constantine between 235 AD and 275 AD, when he took away the apostolic, prophetic, revelatory realm out of church life, instigated pastoral paid people, and the state would pay the pastors so he could tell the pastors what to do with the church, and that's why the church went into decay. And so what you had now is you had God moving on the face of the earth. And this was probably in about, 1930s, 1940s. You had this whole pastoral thing start to manifest on the face of the earth. It went on to about 1960, when you suddenly had this move of this supernatural stuff starting to happen in church. And so what began to happen with the supernatural stuff, suddenly people wanted to know about the Bible. They would show me the word. I need teaching from the word. So you now got this poor pastor who's got all the sheep going, bah, bah, I want to know about the word. And so what began to happen was that God began to cover the face of the earth with this thing called the teacher. And this anointing of the teacher began to overshadow the earth, and there came amazing teaching from about 1860 through to about 1960 on the face of the earth. There was this massive move of revelation, and they established all the Bible colleges out of that, and unfortunately they're still teaching the same stuff they taught then. It hasn't changed. It may have been repackaged and given some new semantics, but it's the same stuff. That's why you're getting the same produce out of the end of it. Because if you do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got, which is usually nothing. And so, other than a PD, a PhD, you know, or your BA, you know, I'm glad I've got a BA. Praise God, my born-again experience. And so, you had the teacher manifest in the face of it. And then when the teacher started teaching, the supernatural world began to open up. And suddenly, on the face of the earth, there was this revelation that people could see into the kingdom world and experience prophetic revelation by the sovereignty of God. And so you had people having these sovereign experiences with God where they would see the kingdom world and that this prophetic stuff would happen. And suddenly on the face of the earth, I don't know, probably in about the 1980s, excuse me for my church history, I never studied church history, so I just know from my own experience because I got born again quite some time ago. And about the 1980s, you had this prophetic move that started where people were prophesying and they were seeing things and they were engaging stuff. And you had this move on the face of the earth that began to come around the face of the earth. And it was the prophetic realm that began to manifest. And so during that prophetic realm, some of the things that began to happen seemed to be so chaotic that, you know, things would happen all over the meetings and stuff's going on and everybody's going, oh, and everyone's doing their own thing. the prophetic people realized, man, we need some order here. And in about 1990, the apostolic move was starting to be birthed on the face of the earth. To about 2010, you had this massive move of the apostolic that began to overshadow the face of the earth like this. And so you had this apostolic realm that covered the earth, and suddenly the church began to come into order. Because the apostles got a big rod, and it goes around and starts bringing order to the chaos. And so, of course, when you've been used to doing what you've always done, and you don't want to do what you now have to do, it's called rebellion. But one thing I really noticed, and particularly with the last three, the teacher, the prophet, and the apostle, was that if you were a teacher in the 1970s, or 60s and 70s, when the prophetic move started, you became a prophet. And then in about the 1990s, when the word apostle started being surfaced and started to be bandied about, suddenly you became an apostle. Now, I don't understand that, but that's the way it seems to have gone. And so, you know, and this is who's who in the zoo here. And so everybody wants to be who in the zoo. Well, I don't want to be in a zoo because any animal in the zoo is caged. And I believe that's what's happened to the church. The church has been caged and put into a zoo. And so what you've had is you've got a mountain that has been built onto the face of the earth with the apostle sitting at the top of the mountain. And the apostle goes like this, well, join my network and we will network together and I will be your covering. Well, it's a good way to run your ministry, particularly if you get them to pay you $1,000 a year to belong to their network. And there's no fathering that goes on. Because actually, when somebody says to me, I'm an apostle, my first question to them is, are you growing someone to mature into maturity to replace you? Oh no, it's just about the ministry. Sorry, you're not an apostle. I don't care what you call yourself. The function of an apostle is to grow someone up to replace them. And if they're not fathering someone, then they're not a father, and therefore they're not an apostle. I don't care what they call themselves. See, there's three things that are associated with three skins. Everything has three skins. There's three skins that are associated with the apostolic. One is time. One is finances. And the other is fathering, relationship. And if someone says to you, belong to our network and we'll be your apostolic covering, and they're not sowing into your life, they're not spending time with you to culture relationship, and they're not fathering you to maturity, then actually all you're doing is buying into a club. And what you're doing is you're buying into their mountain. You're trading with their mountain. And so what they're doing is they're taking your anointing, they're adding it to their mountain so they can stay on the top of their mountain and be who's who in the zoo. I don't like that kind of thing. I believe in relationship. Jesus had 12. How can you have 1,000? See, it's about fathering. So let's just read a scripture here just so that you can say I've given you a scripture tonight. You don't need to turn to it. It's just a behavior we've been taught to do. So I can read it out of the Bible as much as you can read it. I prefer you just to listen to me. My goodness, where is it? Look at that. I thought I had it. Anyway, I can't find it, but I can credit you. And God set in place and gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, and some evangelists. Okay, what for? The edifying of the body, the discipline of the church, till the full manifestation of sonship. That's in the NIV, because I'm not reading it. The NIV is a new Ian version, so just get your Bible. I think it's in Ephesians 4. Somebody around there? Somebody just find the scripture for me? Because I want to read it, because it's actually quite a nice one. It just gets the big stick out. I thought it was Ephesians 4:11. Here we go. And he gave. Thank you very much. And he gave some. I did have it in the right place. I was looking in the wrong place. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Remember, I've talked about threes. Threes are very important because threes establish government and show the protocol of the operation of government. So when these fivefold ministries are in place, these three things will occur in the body of Christ and in the church life, in the bride's life, Some for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three things. So when the apostolic is functioning and those fivefold ministries in place, then those three things will be seen in the body of Christ. So when somebody calls themselves apostle and I don't see that fruit being displayed in the church, then what I do is I go, behold, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to be, and I want to go there. And so, it's just all my hyphens. I might like making noises because I'm a male. I can now speak another 25,000 words. And so, this whole thing with the apostolic is very, very important because there's this little statement that is added in here that is very vital for us to actually understand. And it says this, till. Do you know what till means? Till means when that happens, you will be doing that until. And I have got a suppressor on because then my speaker wasn't working, so I now know why I'm struggling. And so, one of the things that happens is that the maturing of the bride of Christ must be done by the fivefold ministry of God in the body of Christ. That maturing must take place inside the body, and if it doesn't take place, then you're not doing your job. The object of all of those fivefold ministries is to bring maturity to the body of Christ till. When till happens, it means your job is finished and your title ceases to exist. And it says this, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't know about you, but there's a couple of things in there that are very important. There's four things that were spoken about there. Those four things are very, very important. Patterns in the Bible are important. Two symbolize an ark. Three symbolize government. Four symbolize four corners. Okay, just like you have four elements in your body, the four points of the compass, the four corners of the earth, the four cherubim, the four winds of heaven, the four spirits of heaven, the four portals of heaven, the four gates of the menorah. The fours are very important because they follow up in engagement with the realms of the presence of God. Now they open up a window. Four means four corners, which means a window that is potentially opened up for everyone to have an entry into the kingdom world. And so God is wanting this engagement with the body of Christ until, and so in the process that God is engaging us here, we have this manifest. And so we now got a mountain on the face of the earth that people are actually buying into, and they're saying, yep, we want to join this mountain. Praise the Lord. But if it doesn't bring you to maturity, all you've done is just married a club. How many of you are sleeping? And so, this is Angus, by the way. He's one of the guys I bought from New Zealand with me. He's my brother, Rub. He really helps me rub the rub itches off my life. And so, and he'll say something else about that. And so what we have here is we have this mountain that's been built from the earth into heaven. I do not believe That is the way God wants it. I believe it's going to come out of heaven and come to the earth. And I believe it's going to come in a very similar way, but it's going to be totally different than everything else. After you tighten it up so tight, I couldn't undo it. Because I believe that what God is doing in the earth today is He's releasing something called a blueprint out of heaven. When you go in the Bible, you find Noah, the Bible says Noah was given instructions. The word instruction is a blueprint or a drawing of how to build the ark. How many know he didn't build a boat? Okay, so we need to go there. Noah did not build a boat. The Bible doesn't say he made a bow in front of the ark. It says you will build a box. This long, this high, and this wide. I just want to deal with a religious devil because we are taught that he built a boat in Sunday school. Because you see a boat with a bow and a front and a stern and all these other things, we think it looks like a boat. That isn't what God asked Noah to do. Just a few other things I think you might like to know about Noah. Some really interesting things, actually. Why do you assume when the Bible says, God said to Noah, I want you to take food for yourselves and for the animals into the ark. Why do you assume that it was for them to eat while they were in the ark? Can you imagine what happens to nitrogen and matter when it's been underwater for 80 days? There ain't no seed left on the face of the earth. Why do you think they took food in there was to have seed to plant the ground when they came out? So the question then is, where did they go when they went into the ark? Well, that's easy. They went where they came from in the first place. Anyway, sidetrack. If you don't believe me, just go and have a look. It's one minute behind you. All of eternity is contained in 1 minute behind you. If you have your eyes closed, you're not praying, you can't see. So, all of eternity is contained 1 minute behind you. We put it in the time frame because we can't handle that all of the past is only 1 minute behind me. Because all of the record of the past is just the past. So 1 minute ago is the past. And all of the past is in that 1 minute because it's all stored there. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so you can go back into the past. That's why God showed Moses the hinder parts. God is a being of light. Let's get Hebraic here. Some of you, how many of you heard me talk about this? 6 of you. So we need to go through this again. What did God do? Show him his hinder parts. The Bible says that. True. Showed him his back. Okay. If our God, let's get Hebraic here. A Greek think, oh, he showed him his back. Oh, that's wonderful back. That's Greek, because we think of the form of it. Hebrew think the function of it. So let's talk about God for a bit here. If God is a being of light, what's the function of light? Well, let's talk about darkness to understand the function of light. In darkness, can you see anything? So it means your brain cannot record anything because it cannot see. So if our God is a being of light, and he showed him his back parts, he was showing them the record stored in light of the past. Okay, and then you come a little bit later on and he says to these guys, hey, listen, to Miriam and Aaron, I'll speak in dark sayings. But actually not so much to my servant Moses. To him, I will speak face to face. The same law and same protocol about God as a being a light. What's the function of the light? To store record. So when God spoke to him face to face, he showed him the record stored into the future. That's why he could write about his own death in third person before it happened without ever seeing it. So because God's eternal, he has the past and the future in him. So when you're in him, you can see the past and the future. In the Bible, David lived out of the future. Did you know that? Some of you do because you heard me teach on it. David said something like, take not your Holy Spirit from me, when the Holy Spirit wasn't even given. Hello? Where do you think David learned that from? Look at that down there. I think I'm going to have a piece of that. And perhaps I can bring it into my day so that I can live in their day, in my day, so I can have a part in their day. When they're in their day, I'll just have their day here. It's true. It's in the Bible. What about Abraham? You know, he left. What did he leave? Looking for a city whose builder was God. Excuse me? Who's going to see that city? Oh, come on. We are. Thank you. You guys are really serious, man. You've got to smile and get a bit looser. We'll get over this over the weekend. If not, then I've got some bottles of water. We can certainly help bring some enthusiasm to you. And so what we have here is a manifestation of a form of government that I believe is in a mature state. Because what God is looking for is a shadow of himself. If God made Adam an image of himself, we've got to believe the way the Hebrews think. Don't go to sleep on me. You've got to believe the way that Hebrews think is that God is going to take us all the way back to the beginning. Because the Bible says, as in the beginning, so as in days of Noah, so shall our days be. So I've got to believe that we're going to go beyond Noah. Noah was the only one that was perfect in his genealogy, which means there was no mixture with reptilian or Nephilim seed line inside, or gray seed line inside his body. So he was perfect, and therefore God could use him because he didn't have that record. So we've got to believe that the Bible says in our day it's going to be the same thing. So we've got to deal with the mixture inside of us. If he's Alpha and Omega, it means he's going to bring the beginning to the end because the Hebrew thinks circular. Greek think 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6. Hebrews think 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6 equals 3 plus 2 plus 1. Because there must be a middle, there must be a beginning, and there must be an end. And we're in the middle about coming to the end. Man, you're the best that God has chosen in all of eternity to be on the face of the earth in this day. You're the best of the genealogy line. You're the best that could ever be on the face of the earth. He's in our day. Man, you guys can get it. Come on, you got to smile. Just go, yes, Ian. This is good stuff. See, because sometimes we don't believe the stuff. We think about it, but we don't believe it. Now, if God is going to marry the NC, so when God came and met with Jacob, he said, I am the Lord your God. In Hebrew, it's Anoki Elohim Yahavah. So Anoki means know my works. Yahavah means I'm the God with you. The first time in recorded history, it went from knowing his works through an encounter to know that God's with me. To our day where Jesus is in me. See? To knowing the works of God. Sorry, knowing that God's with me again. To know the works of God. Because the end must equal the beginning. So if God's design was Adam, then God's going to take us all the way back to the way Adam was. It's called creating an image of yourself. I don't know about you, but I want to move like Adam. I want him to take the whole earth into my belly. Yep. And sit over it. Bring divine order into it. If you don't want to, that's your problem. I my desire is to do that. In fact, I don't just want the earth. I want our little solar system, and I want a small galaxy in my belly. We have a small galaxy. It's only 256 million light years across. It's traveling 197,272 miles per second for 250 million years. And so, what I believe God is doing is that he's creating an image on the face of the earth here. And what God is looking for is a shadow of himself to come out of heaven. And so what is happening is God is bringing a blueprint into the face of the earth to men and women who will say, Lord, I stand here and I want to know what you want me to do on the face of the earth in my day. I want to know what you want me to do, not what the church is telling me to do, not what the theological seminaries are telling me what to do, not what my culture is telling me to do, not what my theology is telling me to do. What do you want me to do? All of us came out of the realm of eternity when, as a spirit being, get the CD, with the something called a scroll of testimony. Something you agree to, which sits inside of you before you're in the earth. You agree to some stuff on the earth. You got to unpack that, get the CD. And so what we have here is God is bringing onto the face of the earth. And what God, I believe, is doing is God is going into reverse the way that it's been, because the end must equal the beginning again. And so what I believe God is doing is God is releasing out of heaven to the apostolic a blueprint of his engagement with the earth. What is God asking you to do on the face of the earth? And I guarantee you that in some churches today, it's not about a vision statement. This mountain is about a vision statement, building a mountain on the earth. God wants heaven on earth, not earth in heaven. The Bible says, on earth as it is in heaven. God is looking for a release out of heaven through the apostolic government, a blueprint that's going to set a boundary and set a precedent so that God can begin to do something with an image that he sees in heaven that's going to be projected down onto the earth. When God does that, he can then look and go, oh, that looks like me. In fact, I think I'm just going to become my footstool and I'm going to step into that and acknowledge it as my own. And what I believe is happening in the face of the earth today, God is releasing out of heaven blueprints into communities, into churches, into the hearts of people. I have people coming up to me all the time saying, you know, I've got this dream about doing something and it's been percolating inside of me and I really want to, you know, how does this fit in the church? Well, usually it doesn't, because the church doesn't have a blueprint of its own that you can fit into. And see, the reality is this, I don't serve a man. I serve the blueprint. I don't serve the man. I serve the blueprint, because then the man can fail and it won't affect my life. But that's not the way it's done today. If the pastor fails, it affects your life because you're serving the pastor, not the blueprint. And so I believe with that blueprint is going to come a voice. That voice is going to be the apostolic cry, which is going to uncover the mysteries in the mystical world of that blueprint to people, so that they can begin to read it and begin to understand the protocol of what is required from heaven onto the earth. And then what you've now got is, once a mystical world has begun to open up, you're then going to get God begin to release the teachers to teach about this blueprint and how to engage and bring the knowledge of the protocol and function of that blueprint into the face of the earth, so that there's instruction for the body of Christ about the blueprint. And then what God's going to do is he's going to then get people who can shepherd people into the knowledge of the blueprint. So instead of serving a person, they serve God and the blueprint that's connected with a community of believers that engage the kingdom world, that form a shadow on the earth of the realm of heaven. And then people can come into that shadow instead of into the church. And so you're going to have this whole pastoral thing where there will be a carrying of the blueprint into the community. And then the last thing you're going to have is these evangelists that are going to be released on the face of the earth. Actually, and what they're going to do is they're going to preach the blueprint. This is how you serve Christ. Here is the vision of God for our community, for our city, for our homes. Get involved. Let's see what God will do. Oh, and on the way, by the way, you'll get saved. Why? Because when you come into church, there's an image of God in the church. And everybody goes, no, don't close those, it's really hot. Okay. Because there's an image in the church, you find that if you're too cold, just move. And so, there's an image in the church, come sit down the front, it's really warm down here. And so there's an image in the church of what God is looking for, and it's going to be evangelized on the face of the earth again. You see, God's job and God's objective is to build a reflection of the earth of himself. A mountain that is in a different way than the mountain that's currently being built. The big problem we have is we've got this. It's called mixture. Freemasons got it right. It's devilish. And they know how to trade in the demonic world. That's why they use a black and white checkerboard on their floor to trade the stars with the demonic stuff so they can get power in their day. Anyway, and so, You see, God is not wanting mixture of shadows. He's wanting an image of himself. That's why it's so hard to let go of the past and what you know, because your belief systems have been founded on what you know, and God is saying, that I want undone. Because it's not working. It's not working. God wants something on the earth, a pinpoint, that he can look at and go, there is my image. Let's begin to burn into that, shall we? And it's going to come through the cry of the house of God, functioning and everyone serving and coming into the knowledge of the blueprint of the ways of God into heaven. Let's cross that out. God is looking for an image of himself. And I believe in the next 5 years, by the way, the world's not going to end in 2012. You just need to know that. I believe the world was going to end in the year 2000, 1989. It's now 2012. The reason that that begins to happen is because of the fear. Everything's going to change, which is a good thing. So I'm looking forward to the change. Because God's going to start doing stuff that you haven't seen on the face of the earth before. Like men and women ascending and descending. Being received up into heaven and coming out of heaven again with life for the earth. Having a glorified body. I don't imagine, but these are the kind of things that we really need to be hearing. You know, you don't need to prophesy about, you know, earthquakes and famine and wars and desires. It's all spoken about the Bible, but you can stand as a sun and set parameters on how far those things can go. You can't stop them, but you can set parameters and boundaries saying, nah, this is as far as you can go. Get the CD teaching on the courtroom system and government of heaven and the boundary stone and stuff. There is a reflection that God is looking for in the church today. There's a cry, I believe, that is starting in the hearts of people. And people are leaving churches in droves. Did you know that? People are actually leaving churches in droves going, if this is God, I've had it. I'm done with this. I'm finding that it's really funny because there's this younger generation that's between the ages of about 18 and about 28 to 30. You start talking about the kingdom, and you start talking about their accessibility in the world of heaven, the realm of the glory of God, and your accessibility into that, the process of engaging and going into that, and that becoming your abiding place they're in. Because it's real. And our problem is, my generation has missed the next generation that's supposed to be teaching this young generation about the mystical world of the accessibility into heaven, and it hasn't happened. Why? Because we believe that the world will finish in the year 2000, so we did not sow prophetically into our young people who are now 45 and 50 saying, you got to believe there is a way that God's going to come into the earth. We have not spoken into the generation, and we've missed out. They have missed out. There's a whole generation that is lost, and that next generation coming through is sick of the religious system. Because we didn't speak into that generation. That generation is now missing in the body of Christ, and they're out there and they're lost. They really are. There's a generational gap in the church life. I don't know when you noticed that, but there is. And it's because there was a hopelessness that came in, because there was no future, no destiny sown into the young people of my generation. There was no purpose behind why they're doing stuff. On Sunday, I want to talk about, maybe Friday night, or sorry, Saturday or sometime, I want to talk about Caleb's anointing. Because that's my generation. We've got a job to do, people. And I've got a job, and I'm going to do that job, and I'm going to die doing my job. Because we can win. We can win. We can win. Hallelujah. Stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord. Shakete. Father, we want to thank you that there is a blueprint coming out of heaven. Father, there is a cry from your world coming out. Where is the sons of God who would bear the image of heaven? Father, we want to say today, here we are. Father, here we are. We want to bear that image. We want to look like our Father. We want that blueprint of the Father manifesting in us. In the fullness of the government of God being seen, so we can terraform the face of the earth. Father, I want to be part of that image. Father, I ask for your grace to be over us, Lord, over this weekend as we begin to work our way through some of these things. Lord, I ask that you'd empower us and give us grace to change in the name of Christ. Amen.